Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
How many enjoyed the weather? Are enjoying the weather? Isn't that crazy? I mean, there is an unusual watering event going on right now. Isn't that right? I mean, how often is May with rain? I don't remember seeing that for quite a few years. Do you? I mean, I don't know. It's odd. It's unusual. Hallelujah. Is that right? How many know God is doing odd and unusual things these days? Hallelujah. I'm expecting a really unusual watering event to begin to happen in this area. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I like looking around at the things that are happening around us. Hallelujah. Sometimes there's fires in the hills, but this morning I was hearing thunder and lightning and water coming down on the house. And I'm just, oh my goodness. Hallelujah. You guys remember that song? He goes, there will be showers of blessing. I don't remember it, but I just remember that part. But for the showers we plead. Is that right? Wasn't that a blessing this morning? And it still is. It's still a blessing out there. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love the rain. I believe God is blessing us. I believe God. You know, God has given us an amazing ability by His Word, through His Word, being who we are in Christ, the ability to speak into the natural. Is that right? Hallelujah. Because I'm going to tell you, folks, I'm telling every one of my trees, you grow the way you're supposed to grow. Grow big. Go strong. I want some canopies out here. Is that right? How many know that? Come on, man. That's what I'm telling my trees. I'm speaking. The Word of God says that the earth is waiting for the manifestations of the Son of God. Is that right? So I'm going ahead and letting my trees know, hey, the manifestation is standing right here. I'm a son of God. You can go ahead and grow the way. How many know that the earth was under a curse just like man was? But when Jesus redeemed the earth, when He redeemed man, He also redeemed the earth. The curse was taken off. The curse was placed upon Him at the cross. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Praise God. You know, thank you, Jesus. And we are in a totally different day, folks. We have the ability, as Jesus has shown us, to speak to the air, to speak to the clouds, to speak to the wind. Hallelujah. We have that ability because it is Him that dwells in us. Do you know? Oh, I'm already preaching I'm jumping ahead. Hallelujah. Let me just say this. Who you are, you've got no idea. Not one of us. We have no idea what God has done for us. We have no, and I like to put it this way. How many of you know everything about your cell phone? Does anybody in the house know everything about your cell phone, what it will do? Come on, man. Come up here. Show me. I want you to show me an app. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, there are things hidden in your cell phone that you don't know that are there. Is that right? And that's the same thing. I like using that analogy because the fact of the matter is we've got no idea what's within us. Can I just say this to you? Everything that God had planned for you, He put it for you before the foundation of the earth. His plans were there. So sometimes we're asking Him to do things today. Say, God, would you please do that? He says, I've already done that. Believe me for it. Just speak to it. Is that right? Come on, man. We're in a different age. We are the sons and daughters of the King. Hallelujah. He dwells in us. We'll talk about that today a little bit. It's Mother's Day, though. We're going to talk about moms. How many of you had crazy moms? Well, to raise you guys, you probably did have a crazy mom. Is that right? Come on. Come on, man. Hallelujah. I was telling the folks this morning, I say, you know what? We are honoring moms today. The Word of God says, if you look at the bulletin, what does the bulletin say? For the power verse is honor your mother and your father. Is that right? Which is the first command. That you might live long and what? And live long in the earth. Is that right? To honor your mom and father. Hey, folks, I'm going to say this. And I realize and I know that maybe not all of us had real great moms. Is that right? Not everybody, I mean, not sometimes moms just kind of, well, whatever. Anyway, but I'm going to tell you something. She still needs to be honored because you're here today and she brought you into the earth. And so you can honor your mom. Just say, hey, man, thank you, mom, for what you did for me so that I can enjoy the blessings of the Lord our God in the name of Jesus. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some folks might not know their mom, but I'm going to tell you what. Just, you can just put it out there. Thanks, mom. Some folks will say, well, thanks a lot, mom. But no, this is thanks, mom. I want to honor you ladies, moms, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, if there's any. Thank you for all that you've done. We honor moms today. Is that right? So we're going to talk about a mom. And if you will, open your Bible to Genesis chapter 25. Glory to God. Ooh, there's a good spirit in the house today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, the house doesn't have a spirit. How many know that? I need to make sure you guys understand this. When you walk through those doors, the Holy Spirit that's dwelling in you walks in with you. Hallelujah. And Him, as we're gathered together, as we, you know, oh man, makes the presence of God even better. How many know that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why do we go to church? Ooh, why do you come to church? Can I say, hopefully you're going to come to church because you have a desire to hear what God is saying. Because God does use men and women in the earth to speak His words into the earth. And folks, I'm going to tell you, as we get closer and closer to the end time, He's going to be using you more and more and more and more. Do you know that? How many say amen to that? How many say, Lord, use me anytime you can, anytime you want, open my mouth. Is that right? Come on. Hallelujah. There's more preachers in this house than there is up here. Is that right? Y'all are mouthpieces for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Everybody, can I hear somebody say amen to that? Amen. Yeah, come on. That's a weak, but that's okay. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. I'm a mouthpiece for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what we're, come on. That's what I was waiting for. I know it, man. Come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now we're ready. Come on, man. Genesis chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 19. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would infuse our hearts with your word. That you, by your spirit, Lord, would bring light in what's happening and what you're saying in your word today. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad. So, Father, fill our hearts with the joy of the Lord. With understanding and wisdom, fill our hearts, Father. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 19. These are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister of Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. What's that? She was what?
Barren.
What's that? No kids. Is that right? No children. Yeah. She wanted to be a mom, and Isaac wanted her to be a mom. Hallelujah. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. Anybody seen kids fight?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Is this normal? Yeah. That's normal. Hallelujah, it's normal. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Verse 23 says, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from your bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Is that right? The elder shall serve the younger. And when her days were to be delivered, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. What's a plain man? A That's a plain man, I guess. I mean, what is a plain man? Okay. But he dwelt in tents. The Bible says here that Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Were Jacob and Esau loved by their parents? The Word of God says that right there. You know, I don't think it was, I love you and don't love you. Is that right? It was just a preference. Is that right? Esau was preferred by his father because he was a hunter. Jacob dwelt in tents, probably with mom. So he was probably a dishwasher. Clean the toilets. Hallelujah, whatever. But anyway, Jake was loved by his mom, and so they just had preference. Anybody ever been a preferred? How many have siblings? Anybody have siblings in here? Yeah. Were you the preferred sibling?
Yeah.
Yes. What just? Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I wish my sister's not here today, so I'm going to talk about her. No, I'm just kidding. Praise God. I was not the preferred sibling. My little brother was a preferred sibling. I go, oh boy. What I couldn't do, my mom always let him do. I couldn't believe it. I go, what's up, mom? What's up with this? I was not the preferred sibling. Can I tell you, when I told my mom, hey, I was 15 years old, I told mom, I want to get a car. You got to work for it. Isn't that right, Reuben? You got to work for it. So I had to do what I had to do around the house, and she'd mark. She goes, okay. My little brother, when he wanted a car, I had to buy a used car. Well, I mean, one that was being sold in somebody's yard somewhere. That's what I bought. That's what I got. But my little brother, oh, no, she went down to the car dealer. She bought him a car. Isn't that right, Reuben? Am I telling you a lie? Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something. But you get used to being the preferred. Is that right? Hallelujah. But here you had Esau was preferred by his dad. Jacob preferred by his mom. Hallelujah. Who was the older brother? Esau was the older brother. Jacob was the younger brother. How much younger? Seconds. Is that right? They were born the same day. Just so happened, it was just seconds. Jacob grabbed onto his brother's ankle, right? Don't you go, you ain't going nowhere. I'm coming. Yeah, man. Hey. They were fighting for space in there. I get the bunk bed. No, you don't. One sleeping high, one sleeping low, one kicking the one up on top. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's true. But it's a nice thought. Hey, flip over to Genesis chapter 27. We'll start at verse 1. Hallelujah. And it came to pass when Isaac was old, his eyes were dim that he could not see. He called Esau, his oldest son, said to him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now, therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go to the field and take me some venison and make me savory meat such as I love and bring it to me that I may eat and my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went into the field to hunt for venison to bring it. And Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, and saying, behold, I heard thy father say to Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice to that which I command thee. And here is something that Rebekah is doing that really sounds odd to us. Is that right? She begins to devise a plan to trick Isaac. How many of you think that's a good deal? Hey, it doesn't sound like a good deal at all, does it? I say, man, who let this lady in the Bible anyway? Come on, man. That ain't right. You want me to teach my children that kind of stuff? No, no, no. But we're going to see a little bit. It says, so verse 9 says, go now to the flock and fetch me from there two good kids of goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loves. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. You know, smooth, just like Pastor John. He's kind of smooth. He's cool. Now, is that what he meant? That's not the kind of smooth he meant. He said, no, man, my brother's got hair, man. But I'm a Jergens. Never mind. And Jacob said to Rebekah, I'm sorry, I am a smooth man, and my father peradventure will feel me, and I shall sing to him as a deceiver. And he shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said to him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. Children, obey your parents. Is that what the word of God says? Yeah. Even, we'll leave it there. Obey your parents. Verse 14 says, and he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And so it begins. She put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hands of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou hast bade me. Arise, I pray thee, and sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless thee. And Isaac said to his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God has brought it to me. And Isaac said to Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Isaac had an idea that he was under a scam. Can you say that, amen? He had a feeling that, hey, something's just not right here. Verse 22 says, Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and felt him. And went to his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said to him, come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field, which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, God give thee the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Isaac is now pronouncing the blessing on his son, who he thinks is Esau, but is Jacob. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curses thee. Blessed be he that blesses thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it to his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? Who are you? Glory to God. I get a kick out of some of this stuff. I don't know if you guys do. Sometimes you got to kind of place yourself in the story. Is that right? You imagine sitting over in a corner and you just watch Jacob leave, and then now all of a sudden Esau shows up. bless me, my father. He goes, who are you? Glory to God. Anyway, and Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am your son, your firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that has taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. And he says this, and yea, he shall be blessed. Can I tell you, these folks really believed in the blessing. They didn't have the word of God like we do. All they had was the blessing that was passed on and the stories that were passed on from father to son, from father to son, to father to son. That's all they had. These folks believed in the blessing of God. How many believe in the blessing of God? As Christians, boy, you better believe in the blessings of God. You better know that God's blessings will come upon you if you do, if you obey, if you accept, if you believe him, his blessings will come into your house. Is that right? How many want God's blessings in your house? Hallelujah. Esau is in this place. I want the blessing. I want it. And his dad's telling him, man, I ain't got it. I gave it away. Guy just left. He's got the blessing, and he is going to be blessed, is what his dad told him. Oh, that blessing is going to work in his life. How many know that? Come on, man. Hallelujah. And he shall be blessed. Verse 34 says, and when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me even also, oh my father. My heart goes out for this guy. How about you guys? Don't you feel kind of a compassion for him? Oh, man. I do. And he said, thy brother came in subtly and has taken away thy blessing. And he said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, has thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him your Lord. Isn't that crazy? He is your Lord now. You might be the older, but you know what? Because of my blessing upon him, I've made him your Lord. You see how important words are, folks. You see how important these things are. And these folks, they banked. They go, man, that's it. That's why it was so important that Esau get his father's blessing. I have made him your Lord and all his brethren. Have I given to him for servants, and with corn and with wine have I sustained him. What shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing for me, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and the dew of heaven from above, and by thy sword shalt thou live, and thou shalt serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob, because the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, and I will slay my brother Jacob. Isn't that crazy? I will kill him because of this. That's how much stock they put in the blessing. That's how much they valued the blessing. He goes, I'm going to do this. I'm going to kill my brother. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, your brother Esau, as touching thee, does comfort himself, proposing to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, arise, flee to Laban, my brother, in Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury be turned away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then will I send and fetch you from there. Why should I be deprived also of both of you in one day? Rebekah took it very seriously, what her son had said. As soon as Isaac died, that Jacob would die with him at the hands of her oldest son. Crazy story, huh? crazy mom, wouldn't you say? What would make a mom do something like that? Hallelujah. And, you know, I was thinking about crazy moms, and my mom was kind of loco. Loca. I guess the word is loca. Is that right, Ruben?
Right.
My mom. And it was crazy. My mom would my dad passed away when I was a young man, so didn't have a dad. And so my mom was raising my sister and two boys. And my mom didn't go to church, but she loved the Lord. My dad was a Catholic, and my mom had been married and divorced. And when they fell in love, they went to the Catholic Church to get married, and the Catholic Church refused to marry them because she had been married before. She was divorced. So they did the next best thing. They ran off to Lordsburg, New Mexico, and got married. They eloped. Lordsburg. Hallelujah. And so my mom didn't go to church. Although my dad had me and my brothers and my sister, we were in church all the time. I became an altar boy. But my mom did love God. This is what she told me. She goes, I always loved God. She was Catholic. She was raised Catholic. But she said, I always loved God, so I always prayed. You know, there's value in a praying mom. How do you know that? So much value in a mom that prays. Because a mom will pray and pray no matter what's going on. A mom will pray and pray and pray. So much value. So much value. And so much more value if the father will join with her in prayer. Is that right? How much more value is that? Come on, man. Because the Bible says when two of you agree concerning anything, come on, it's going to start. You're going to see those things that you're asking about. So my mom would pray, but wouldn't go to church. And as I got older, we used to like to play kick the can. Anybody play kick the can?
Yep.
Yeah. So some of you guys know what kick the can is? No. Yeah, I had no idea. I love it. Yeah. Yeah. Can I teach you today? Can I teach you something? No. Just we used to set a can out, and then everybody would go hide. There'd be like 30 kids in the neighborhood, and everybody would go run and hide. And you're hiding, and this person was to start calling out names. I see Henry behind the tree over there or whatever, and go touch the can. A lot of times where they'd have to go out and look for somebody, and there would be somebody that would run up and kick the can. That would free everybody that was. And you guys remember that? Yeah. No, not everybody. Hey, this was This was before professional football. Yeah. These were the games, buddy. But I'd be out there hiding right behind the fence, and my mom, Henry! I see Henry behind the fence. Quad mom, what do you want? She gave away my position. Anyway, she'd tell me, I want you to take this food down to the neighbor down the street. I want you to give it to them. I go, do we know that? She goes, just do what I tell you. Okay. So I have to find my brother, and we take this bunch of food down to the person that was down the street from us. Knock on the door would open, and the lady goes, who are you? My mom, Lupi Ayala, she the Dairy Queen lady? Yeah. You know, she wants us to give you this food. The lady just started crying, and my brother and I look at her, oh my gosh, will you just hurry up? We got to go play kick the can. Will you please? And she goes, who is your mom again? Come in. How did she know? How did she know? Do you know that moms generally have an intuition? Is that right? There is something about moms that God has created, and they've got an inside knowing and everything, you know? I would tell my mom, you know, Mom, I did this. She goes, I know that. Don't worry. Get out of here. What? You know? What do you mean you know? I know. You know, moms just know things. Is that right? How many? It's intuitive to moms. It's an inside gifting that God has given. Do you know that God? Now, this might sound kind of weird. Do you know that God has mom attributes? Do you know that? It's kind of crazy. If there's anything, you know, the Word of God says, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever, all these attributes, whatsoever is good, whatsoever is, what are some of the words? Honest and Philippians 4:8. All these things, whatsoever are good, honest, pure, and everything, he says, think on these things. And kind of when you think about that scripture, you know what? Can you put up Philippians 4:8 real quick? I want you to look at the scripture, because if you take a look at it and kind of just think about mom, when you're looking at this, you're going to say, hey, man, that's talking about my mom. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. That, brethren, whatsoever things are true, what are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. These things are attributes, is that right? And all these attributes are what? They're found in our Lord. Whatsoever things are pure, true, just. They're attributes of God. And the Bible says, and what I like about the Word of God is it tells us some things. And it says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are having a little conference. And they said, you know what? We need to make a man. Let's make man in our image. I said, yeah, okay, that's cool. Do you know that moms are formed in the image of God? It's a trait that God has. All the good traits, everything. How many of you say moms have good traits? All the good traits are from the Father. Do you know that? They come from God the Father. And I want to show it to you a little bit. So if you will, I'm just going to write these scriptures down because they might go pretty fast. But Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 11 and 12, I want you to look at this. You're going to see how God begins to talk to us about how he is like a mom. Here it says, as an eagle stirs up her nest. Who sits on the nest most of the time? Mama. Is that right? As an eagle stirs up her nest and flutters over her young, spreads abroad her wings and takes them and bears them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. See, the Bible says that so the Lord, as a eagle flutters over her like a mama, so the Lord, that's what he does. It's cool. What's this next scripture? Hallelujah. Exodus 9:4 says this, and the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is in there. That's not the right scripture. I'm sorry, it's 19:4. You can put that up. Give me just a second. Exodus 19, verse 4. Hallelujah. You have seen what I did under the Egyptians, is what God was talking about when he brought Moses and all the Israelites out of Egypt. He said, you've seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. See what he's saying? I bear you on these wings and I brought you to myself, is what God is saying. This is a motherhood kind of scripture. You might not see it right now, but it is. Isaiah is very clear when he says this in Isaiah 66, verse 12 and 13. We're going to read it in King James first, if we can. Do you have it in the King James? We'll read in the King James first, and then we'll read it in the NIV. It says, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river. And I love these, because these are scriptures that God's been talking to, because we're talking about flow, how the kingdom of God operates in flow. And here we have a flow of what God is saying. He said, I'm bringing these things, peace like a river. And he says, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. And then he says, and you shall suck, and you shall be born upon her sides. Now, and be dandled upon her knees. What does that sound like to you? Does that sound like mom? Doesn't it sound like mom? As one whom his mother comforts, and listen to what he says here, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Is that cool? Do you see the motherhood of God in there? I'm not saying that God's a male or female. I'm just saying that there's a motherhood. There is a mother attribute in God. Hallelujah. And he loves you like a mom and a father and your God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's read it in the NIV real quick. It says this. It says, for this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees as a mother comforts her child. So will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. Hallelujah. God is talking, speaking about what he's going to do. He's like a mom. Is that right? Everybody say mom.
Mom.
Are you still awake out there?
Yeah.
Praise God. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. This is what Jesus said. When in the New Testament, Jesus is looking at Jerusalem from the top of the hill, and he says something, and he says this: Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, thou that killeth the prophets and stones them which are sent to you, how often would I have gathered your children together, even as a what? A hen. It didn't say rooster. It says as a hen gathers her children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. God is showing us attributes of mom. Hallelujah. And this last one, remember how it said in Isaiah, he says, I will comfort you. How many know the comfort of mom is so much different than the comfort of dad? Is that right? When a child falls down and he hurts himself, do they most of the time, sometimes they'll run to dad, but most of the time they're going to run where? Right to mom. Because mom has a way. Moms have a way of comforting without words. Even when the child has done something wrong, even if the child is 30 years old, how many know that? When he's done something wrong, and she knows it, and he knows it, and he comes to her mom, and she grabs him and holds him and hugs him and says, you know, I love you. And you know, even without having to talk to the thing that's causing him to come to, she comforts him. Is that right? Or her. Isn't that cool? That's a mom. A mom that, I love you, man. The comfort that God brings. Look at this scripture, John chapter 14. Verses 15 and 17, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. How many say amen to that? Do you love God? Hallelujah. And then he says, and I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you will know him, for he dwells with you. Is that right? And shall be in you. What's his name? What did Jesus call him? The Comforter. He will be the Comforter. This is related to that scripture we read in Isaiah where he says, I will dandle you upon my knees and I will comfort you. And great shall be the comfort of Jerusalem. Is that right? It's that same thing. I was listening to, I don't know if you guys remember Dave Reavers. He was a young man that was in Vietnam. He was a Navy SEAL. They used to take a PT boat and drive up the rivers in Vietnam. And I was listening to him talk one day, and he said that what happened to him, he was going to throw a white phosphorus grenade, if you guys, some of you might know about the story, but he got hit in his hand, could not release the grenade, and it went off all around. And the guys that were with him were, they actually thought he was dead. They had gotten him into a helicopter. And while they were in the helicopter, one of the first things they're going to do if you've died in battle, they're going to take your dog tags and they're going to shove them right up in between your front teeth. That's why they've got a little notch to do that. Have you guys ever seen? You guys seen those notches? And you guys know about that, right? They shove them up in your teeth so that those dog tags stay with you. Well, they went to do that, and he knew what they were about to do. So he goes, "Oh!" And man, he said the guy just about fell out of the helicopter. But when he said that, when he got to the hospital, he said it was amazing how many guys in the hospital were calling for mom. Isn't that something? Mom. Mom. Asking for the comfort that comes from their mom. Powerful, powerful ministry a mom has, not only to her children and her grandchildren, but also children that are all around her that know her. Because you know there's moms that come, that they say, come on over. You know, the kids are saying, can we invite her? Yeah, bring them. That's okay. All right, let's feed them, you know. But you know, such a comfort. There's a mom to their children. Hallelujah. Mom. I honor you today, moms. Let's go back to Rebecca. What's wrong with this mom? She's kind of crazy. Yeah, she's crazy, all right. I want you to look at Scripture. I want you to look at the Word of God. If you put up Genesis chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, look at what Rebecca's going on, because Rebecca's not just doing something to do it. Verse 22 says, "And the children struggled within her, and she said, 'If it be so, why am I thus?' And she said, she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb. Two manner of peoples shall be separated from your bowels.'" Did that happen? Absolutely. "One people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." Who's the stronger in this, in what God was talking about here? The stronger is actually Jacob. Is that right? Yeah, yeah. One will be stronger than the other. In the natural, the stronger was the bow hunter. In the natural. Esau had those, the biceps in it from picking up elk and deer and everything else and carrying them 3,600 miles to camp. He was the stronger one. Isn't that right? Yeah, come on. Reuben says, "Yeah, come on, man." He was the stronger one. He was the stronger one in the natural. But God wasn't talking about him now, was he? God was talking about Jacob, the younger. That's who he was talking about. So what was going on with this crazy woman? What's wrong with you, crazy woman? Was she a bad mom? I don't think so. Esau might have said, "Yeah, come on, Ma. Hey, how about me?" Like I would tell my mom, "Hey, Mom, how about me?" You know, my mom would not let me have any guns or knives. But my brother had guns and knives galore. I go, "What the heck?" My brother come out one day, had this real nice knife. I go, "Hey, where'd you get that?" He goes, "Mom bought it for me." I go, "Man, what the heck?" I said, "Let me see that. I'm playing with it. That's nice. It's really nice. I like it. That's nice." And he goes, "Here, give it back." "No." "Well, hold on. I'm not done. Give it back. Mom's coming. Give it back." So he grabs the knife. And guess what I did? Cut him. And let me tell you, I felt bad. I really did. I felt bad. I didn't want to hurt my brother. I really did. I loved him. But I look at him, "Here's your knife, man." My mom was going, "What's going on?" My brother's hand's dripping blood. "Nothing, Mom." I go, "Mom, I was looking at the knife and I accidentally cut him. She hit me in the head." "You see why I don't give you any knives?" "Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot, Mom." Yeah, that was me. But you see, Rachel had something she was going on. She had a word from God. She had a word from God that was placed in her, not when she asked about her children. I'm like, you got to hear what I'm going to say right now. That word was already in her already. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Because the Word of God said that we, from the foundation of the earth, was what God did in the beginning. And he finished and he said, "Today's my day of rest. I'm done." Everything was complete. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's why when you ask God, you go to his word and you look at his word and you say, "God, this is what your word has said. This is what I believe. I believe." See, it's already within you. What God has for you is already resident in you. He's not going to do anything more. He's done it all. When he sent his son to the cross, he did it all. And it's already sitting within you. And for you to ignore the word of God is a danger to you, because you'll never discover the things that God has placed in you. Amen. Because it is the word. Because look at what happened. Look at what happened with Rebecca. She got pregnant after being barren. And now all of a sudden, there's something going on inside. She don't understand. See, the word was already resident in her. It just took her event that brought her to say, "I'm going to go seek the Lord. I'm going to find out why this is happening." And when she sought the Lord, that's when the word of the Lord was coming. See, it took that event to bring the word to her, bring it out of her. Whew, come on, you got to get this, man. Because everything happening to you, everything has been predetermined by God. Hallelujah. You cannot stop the flow of God in your life if you want it to flow. If you don't want it to flow, there's things you can do. And we're not going to talk about that. Believing God takes faith. Faith is the instrument that God uses to bring light on what he has within you. The word Jesus told us, behold, the kingdom of God is where? It's within. It's not out there. It's already in you. So when you go to the Father and you ask him, God, what is this? What is that? He will open those things up to you. And he's going to do it by his word. He's going to do it by events happening in your life. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. Oh, man. So no, this woman was not loca. She had a word. She knew that her son, her youngest son, it wasn't a thing about favor. It wasn't. It wasn't that I favored Jacob over Esau. It was that she had a word that said, God's word says that you will be the head and not the tail. You're going to be above and not beneath, bro. Son. Jacob probably said, whatever. See, Jacob didn't get it, you know, because Jacob didn't have that word, did he? Who had his word? Who had that word for him? Mama. Mom had the word. And she acted on it. She did what was not common. Is that right? It was not common for the mom or the woman to deceive the father. That's not common. She did what she did because she was driven by a word that was within her. Can I tell you that that's how we have, this is a beautiful example of what we are to be today. Do you know that? I want you to look at a scripture. This is, first I want to show you something. I was thinking about innate. The innate ability. She had an innate ability. Something that went past the natural, that went into the supernatural to speak to her son, to get that blessing that she knew was valuable to him. And here's innate ability. The dictionary for the word innate, it's an adjective. It means inborn. Instinctive. Intuitive. Does that sound like mom? Unlearned, untaught, natural, native. Where'd Brendan go? Come here, bro. Let me tell you something about natural, intuitive. I've been trying to play guitar since I was 13. And I don't play very well. How long have you been playing guitar?
I got to do the math real quick. Not a year yet.
Not even a year yet. Let me just say this to you. There is an innate ability in this young man to do that. You see, God placed it when? Come on. From birth. Go ahead, bro. Thank you, brother. When he came in, he says, man, first time I heard him play, I go, how long have you been playing? He goes, 3 months. Wow. 3 months?
Yeah.
I said, 27 years. Can't let me just say this, folks. God has things within you that you don't even have any idea that you're designed for. Can I tell you this ability that God has given me here? It is something that was innate with me. I'm untaught, unlearned. I don't know even how to spell Bible college. Just kidding. I know how to spell Bible college. Let me just say this to you. But it was placed within me. You see, God spoke to me, you know. He says, you are not a minor, which I was working at the mine. You're not a minor. You are a pastor. And God, and he said, I can't bless what you're pretending to be. And everything that God has placed within you is there for you to discover.
Hallelujah.
For you to go into the Word of God and say, God, what do you have for me? You see, the body of Christ isn't just supposed to be a bunch of folks that you know, just show up to work on Sunday. To work. Did I say work? I did say work. Show up to work. No, we're not to be just... See, the Bible in Ephesians... I didn't write this down, but I feel the Lord wanting to... Ephesians... Let me see where it's at. Corinthians. Excuse me real quick. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Talking about how we all come into the unity, how we all become men and women of God, Christ. How many of you know that our example is what our goal is? Jesus Christ is our example, and he's our goal. And then he says, I want you to show this. Verse 16, if you can put that up. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, says this, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body, the edifying itself itself. A lot of words, right? But what I want you to see is this, where it says, from the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that, see now look at this, which every joint supplies, according to the what? Effectual working in the measure of every part. Everybody, I'm a part, you're a part, you're a part, you're a part, you're a part. The effectual working of every part. See, what God, when you begin to discover the things, the giftings, and all the things that God has placed within you, and you begin to act on those things. See, this is what he's talking about. It's a living body. It is a body that comes together, every part doing its part, not jumping over each other, not ruling over each other, but every part doing its part. God gave me a script. God, when I was looking at, we got this incredible idea that we've got to have everything so structured, but God, the Holy Spirit, is the leader. How many know that? Will you agree with me that he says, be led by the Spirit? He is the one that is to take us anywhere we want to go. And God gave me a scripture one day. He says, you know what, Henry? Go to the ant and study it. The ant. And then he says in the word, who has no overseer, who brings in its... See, it does what it instinctively, innately has been trained, has learned to do, because it does it. Instinctively. It's an instinct. You guys ever watch those little turtles? The baby turtles, the sea turtles? You ever watched what happened? You know, because the big sea turtles will go and lay a bunch of eggs in the sand. And when they're ready, when they hatch, those little turtles come up out of their shells and make a mad dash for the ocean. Just so happens there's a bunch of birds that know about the season. And they're having little turtle soup all day long. Baby turtles. See, they do that. And see, they've been untaught, unlearned. They don't. It's something that comes up within them. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. That's what God's calling the body of Christ to do. You got to know who you are in Christ. Do you hear what I'm saying? God is saying it's time that the body know who they are. Those that do know the Lord shall be strong and do exploits. It's who you are. You are kings and priests in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Look at, I want you to just see Colossians. Look at this scripture. Oh, I hope you're hearing me this morning. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 through 26 says, whereof Paul is talking about his ministry, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations. Now, God said there's been a mystery that's been hid forever. Is that right? Ages and generations, this mystery's been hid. The fact of the matter is, he's opened this mystery up to us. And then he says this, but now is made manifest to who? If you're a saint, raise your hand. Come on, man. You can do it. Hallelujah. If you believe in Jesus, you can raise your hand. Hallelujah. You're a saint. If you believe in Christ, he says, made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Instinctively, whatever those words are, he's there. And he is saying, give me the throne. How many say what I'm talking about? So you're going to have to dethrone yourself. Is that right? Get over yourself. Jump off that throne and let him rule. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Because when you do that, you're going to find that he's got what you've been looking for all the time. It is going to be a fulfilling experience. Come on, man. Hallelujah. God says, I'm ready for my body to respond to who they are in me. The Word of God says it this way, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But it's not I that liveth, but Christ lives in me. Can you say that this morning? Hallelujah. I don't care if I don't, you know what? God didn't care if I said, God, I can't do that. When he said, I want you to pastor, I said, no, I can't do that. I don't know how. You're going to have to show me how, God. He says, it's in you. Those things, they're already within you. Hallelujah. You get me? Do you hear the flow that God is saying to his people? Time to rise up. Time to get into the Word of God. Time to look like you've never looked before. Time to search like you've never searched before. Get your notepad and your pen, your pencil, and get next to the Word of God and go into God's Word and say, God, what is it that's in me that I'm not recognizing? You're going to watch. The Bible says this, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man the things that I have for you, prepared for you. From the foundation of the world, they're already in you. Quit looking around. Quit searching in places where you don't need to be searching. It's in the Word of God. He'll show it to you, and you're going to find the fulfillment you've been looking for. And that, man, can everybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Are you all asleep?
No.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Is that right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness.
Yeah.
All things. He's already given it to you. Where are they? They're within you. Hallelujah. Let's stand. I'd like to bring the musicians up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Mother's Day. Hey, Rebecca wasn't a bad mom. Actually, she was an example to who we are. She was following an innate, an inside vision that she had that her younger son would rule, that the blessing of the Lord was upon that young man's life. How many of you say, man, God, I want to know more? How many of you get hungry? How many of you got hungry with the Word of God this morning? Did you get a little hungrier than you were when you walked in the doors? That's what the Holy Spirit does for you. He says, man, I'm going to place something in your heart this morning. If you will listen, you're going to find that he speaks to you constantly. And he's desiring to lead you and guide you. So let's pray. If you would bow your heads. I know it's not customary for me to say bow your heads, but I'm going to ask you to bow your heads just for a second. There might be some of you that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ or have never really accepted Jesus into your life. And we're here this morning just to help you and to encourage you to accept Jesus. He died for you. He went to the cross for you. He was buried so that you wouldn't have to be buried. Hallelujah. And he rose again so that you might receive new life, so that you might experience eternal life. And this is how you do it. If you never prayed this, I want you to pray this. If you pray this with all your heart, you're going to, you know, God will rush to you. And he'll love on you. And he'll show you things you've never seen before. He'll hear things you've never heard before. You'll understand things you've never understood before. If you say the words of this prayer, if you invite him into your life, because he loves you. He cares for you. Church, help us to pray this morning. Say this, dear Heavenly Father, I come to you, a sinner. Lord, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe that you went to hell for me. And I believe in 3 days, God the Father raised you from the dead. And your word says, if I would believe in you, I would not perish, but I would have eternal life. in Jesus, my Lord. So, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. If you, amen. If you agree, say amen. Hallelujah. If you gave your heart to the Lord this morning, let us know. Talk to us. We're going to go out with a song. Sing a little song. And then...
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.